It's great to see you, church. Thank you very much for being here today. Hope everybody's doing well. I am going to make a confession to you. I don't try to do this very much. In fact, I don't ever really remember doing it. I may have taken some parts of a sermon here and there and put them back in a sermon and preached it again that way. But today I'm going to preach a repeat sermon. When I was thinking about what can I say about Ezekiel, I remembered this sermon. Well, just a couple years ago, I preached this sermon here. Same PowerPoint, same notes, everything. So maybe you've forgotten it, you know? Maybe you've forgotten it. We're going to read. Just because I feel it goes extremely well with our theme to Vacation Bible School. And so bear with me on that. But before we get in there, I need some help. I need somebody who just finished third grade. Raise your hand, please. Brother Jimmy, I got a, you know, I love you, but you got a little bit of age on them. All right, Caden, come up here, sweet pea. She's like, oh, no. Don't worry, you're not going to be the only one. Come on, girl. Is Daddy blocking the way? Let her come, brother. No. This is not bullying. I would never bully this angel. Come on up here, sweetheart. I love you very much. You know that. If you just finished the fourth grade, raise your hand. Oh, Skylar, come on. Come on, Bo. Sorry. Come on, sweet Skylar. And if you just finished the fifth grade, raise your hand. Chloe and Caroline. Let's just go all girls. Sorry, all girls. Come on, Chloe and Caroline. We couldn't have one without the other, you know. Can y'all see everybody over there? All right. Come on. Look at these faces. Look at these. I mean, look, smile big. Y'all smile big. Now be sad. Be sad faces. We would say, Nyet plach in Ukraine, right? In Russian. All right. Don't cry. You know why they're so sad? Because nobody has signed up to keep them at Vacation Bible School. The third, fourth, and fifth grade has no keepers. I mean, can you believe that? What are we going to do? You know? I had an elder just sign up to do it. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm bringing people up here all the time. Thank you very much. All right? They did a great job. Thank you, ladies. That's how you get it done, folks. All right? Thank you very much. Vacation Bible School is going to be great. Folks, we've got some people out of town today, so you got to step up your game. Listen, Christine Bennett and Marcia Polk, they've been in the hospital. They've been in rehab, physical rehab. They're here tonight, this morning. I'm glad of that. Pardon me? Still in rehab, but they're here. We've got some folks that are here that haven't been here. We've got people that still aren't able to be here. But guess what? We still got to fill this place up tonight. It's going to be outstanding. We've got keepers now for every age. We've got exciting teenage teachers. The adults have a teacher. It's me. Okay, don't let that keep you away. We're going to have the best Vacation Bible School we've ever had. It has been the most challenging, skit-wise, Vacation Bible School I've ever been a part of. Been a part of a lot of them, okay? I mean, I don't know, many years of VBSs I've been a part of. This has been the most challenging, and we still need some things to work out right to pull it off. But I'm confident it's going to work. But it's going to be for naught if we just show up with the same old. Let's get some visitors here. Let's get some people from our neighborhoods here, from our families here. It's for all ages. Our numbers have been off. I'm not going to kid you the last few years. Let's get them back where they need to be. But it takes work for us to do that, and we're going to keep challenging you throughout this sermon. But Justin came to me. Y'all might always wonder what Justin and I talk about right before we come up. I don't know every time. But today, I tell you what it is. He apologized to me. He said, man, I'm sorry for using Ezekiel today. He said, I didn't realize Carl was going to be reading from it. I said, hey, I'm going to preach on it too. You're going to get so much Ezekiel that you're going to leave here just thinking about Ezekiel. That's right. Because we think this story is that powerful. Now, I'm going to confess to you. the first 36 chapters of Ezekiel is a challenge. And if you think, I'm going to go back and read this and understand it perfectly, probably you're not. But there's a lot of apocalyptic type language in it. And there's a lot of things, and we're going to try to illustrate some of that on a child's like level throughout this week. But it's going to be great. But today, I want to go to 37 with you. That is the chapter everybody thinks of. Rhoda is the one who is the mastermind behind this BBS. I appreciate that, Rhoda. She came to me and said, hey, why don't we do Ezekiel? And right off the bat, I was like, that sounds great. And then I realized how challenging that was going to be. But it's been great. And chapter 37 is worth it all. Because this chapter is so powerful. And so let's get into our lesson today. There is a question asked in Ezekiel chapter 37 that in verse 3, that's the theme really of our whole VBS. It's on our shirts. God asked Ezekiel, as he's looking over that valley of bone after bone after bone, and these bones are white, they're dried out, the sun has scorched them, they've been there some time, these bones, these people are dead. You cannot get any more dead than dead, right? So they are as dead as you can get. And God, strangely, I will confess that is strange to me, strangely asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? Now, I'm just going to tell you, if I'm Ezekiel, I'm thinking, this is the craziest question I've ever heard, God. You know, I'm trying to preach to these people. And by the way, Israel, they were rebellious. They were totally rebellious. Priests were rebelling. It was really bad. And God was through with them. He wanted to kill them all. But it gets to the point where Ezekiel is going to learn a lesson that we need to learn ourselves today. But in order to understand this chapter and this lesson better, let's take a look and think about some of the background behind it. God called His people, the Jews, out of captivity of Egypt. You know that story. Moses goes before Pharaoh, and they go through the Red Sea. Now, for over 100 years, they were in Egyptian captivity. It was long enough for them to not know Joseph. You remember that? Joseph, second in command of all of Egypt, behind Pharaoh himself. And the people, there arose a group of people, they didn't know Joseph, therefore they didn't know God, but God still loved them enough to draw them out. So He brings them out, brings them into the Promised Land. After they 40 years, they wander around. You remember that? So they go into the Promised Land, and then He gives them a king. They didn't need a king because God wanted to be their king. You remember how that lesson goes? They wanted to be like the other nations. And so God reluctantly gave them a king. They had Saul, they had David, they had Solomon. The kingdom split. It divided after that. So after all their rebellion, after all their trouble, after all the things that are going on, and they turn against God, God then allows them to go into captivity. The first captivity they end up in is the Babylonian captivity. You remember King Nebuchadnezzar. He was king of Babylon. He was a mighty king with a mighty army. And so they go in and they take Israel over. They take Solomon's temple. And if you look back and you study, remember, David had the idea to build the temple for the first time. Solomon built the temple. Ezra rebuilt the temple later on. But under Solomon's temple, all that gold, all the immaculate beautification of that temple, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army took it to ashes. They tore it completely down. So therefore, it took away the mindset. Now, God's not confined to a temple. He's not confined to a box. He's not confined to a building. But in their mindset, they took away their God. It took it all away. And so they go into that Babylonian captivity. And this is the condition that Ezekiel's in. These people that are, they haven't learned. They haven't learned their lesson. And when it comes to chapter 37, in God's mind, in the people's minds, Israel is dead. Now, why is that a problem? It's a problem because Jesus Christ is not yet in the world. Now, it's a problem because under Abraham, God said, I'm going to make you the father of all nations. Through your seed, Abraham, all nations are going to be blessed. Well, that seed happened to be through the lineage of David, who happens to be through the lineage of Judah, which is Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus Christ, our high priest today. No other man, no other person, no other being is our high priest. Jesus Christ is. And because of that, Israel being almost dead, or literally dead, was not part of God's plan. It's part of His plan after that, okay? He didn't want Israel to be that way, but they chose to be that way. And so, He's going to work it out. But that's why it's a problem. That's why it's such a challenge. These are God's people. They're God's people because Christ was coming into the world. So, God takes Ezekiel up to this mountain, if you will, to look under below in this valley. And so you get verses 1 and 2 where we see that he sees this valley of dry bones. Now, you've got to see the scene. If you don't picture this scene, you're not going to appreciate this story as well as it can be appreciated. The bones are scattered everywhere. See it in your heads. There's Ezekiel looking down. He's looking over a valley and there's just bones everywhere. Okay? These bones are dried out. They've been dead a while. They're scattered by, you could imagine, some of them are scattered here. Some of the animals, when it had meat on them, they would take and they, I know that's gross and all, but it's the reality of it. So there's bones as far as probably his eyes could see. Ezekiel learns that this is a vision of Israel. Verse 11. Of chapter 37. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and ourselves are cut off." There was no way that Israel could get themselves out of Babylonian captivity. You realize that? No way they could do it themselves. There's no way that God's Israel today can get themselves out of captivity of the devil. We can't do it on our own. It takes God's help. That's the whole concept behind it. They were like dead, dry bones that Ezekiel was looking over in a graveyard and seeing. Maybe that describes us today. Maybe that describes you here this morning. Maybe you look around and it seems that you have no hope. That life is just cutting the air off. That life is suffocating you. Everything seems to have gone wrong in your life, perhaps. Maybe your life is just a mess. Or at least your life is not where you want it to be. What do we do about that? Well, we have to ask the question in 37 verse 3 that God asked Ezekiel. Now take yourself now and put yourself as that bone. If you don't have hope, if your life is a mess, if it's not where you want to be, you need to ask yourself, and I need to ask myself, can this life live? Can these bones live again? Those bones that Ezekiel looked over, they lived at one time. The question is, can they live again? Well, remember the answer that Ezekiel gave is the same answer you need to listen to today. God, these bones can live if you want them to live. You see, your life can live. And God wants it to live. But are you willing, am I willing to give my life to God? To surrender the control? Well, in order to understand this better, we need to ask ourselves then, and this may be where this sermon gets a little familiar to you, which bone are we? Bunch of dead bones out there now. I don't know if you're dead or not, but here's the reality. If you are, which bone are we? Which part of the family or the flock or the graveyard are we? Maybe we are the tailbone. Maybe today you can conclude that you're the tailbone. Now that doesn't seem nice, does it? who is the tailbone Christian? The tailbone Christian, or the tailbone member of the graveyard, if you will, just sits around and lets everybody else do the ministry in the church. I'm just going to sit on my tailbone. I'm just going to sit down and let everybody else, you know, I'm going to show up, I'm going to punch my ticket, because that's what we're doing, right? We're clocking in here to worship, and y'all got a mind on when we clock out. I don't, okay? I don't know when we clock out, but some do. And you remind me of that. But the point is, you're clocking in, you're clocking out. That's the mentality of the tailbone Christian. God doesn't reward our work if we're just sitting around, though. You know what he says about a man working? He says, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. Now, that's physical, okay? Think about it. Let's just say today I decided I'm not going to work here anymore. And I just go and I become a certified bum or a hobo, you know, something like that. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to beg. It is in the providence of God that I'm going to starve myself and my family to death. Because it says, if a man shall not work, he shall not eat. Now, let's think about that. Think about that spiritually. If you're not willing to work for God, folks, you're not going to be the Christian you need to be. You're going to starve to death. George challenged us this morning. If you weren't in his Sunday school class, I hope you were in Jimmy's or one-to-one or teens or wherever else. But if you weren't here, you missed out. And we need to get off our tailbones. You like how that works, right? No bones about it. See, I could do this all day. Okay? But we need to be here because we were challenged by our elder representing the eldership to have the same mind as Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't come to sit on a pew and watch everybody else do the work. He came to work. And He came to serve. Can I live if I'm a tailbone Christian? First of all, we need to remember, Jeff referenced the first part of 1 Corinthians 15 and the gospel part of that. Now I'm going to go to the last part of 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 58, Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What if I've been sitting on my tailbone? What if that's my spiritual life? Can I live? Well, the answer is yes. But we've got to get off our tailbone. We've got to get on our legs, and we've got to go to work. So am I a tailbone Christian? Number two, am I the fingerbone Christian? Who is the fingerbone Christian? This one that's pointing all the time. They are the ones that their finger is being pointed at everyone else, not ever taking responsibility for their own actions. You know how the saying goes. When I point my finger, three are pointing back. But it's not as simple as that. Everywhere you go, sometimes you might have somebody pointing the finger. The fingerbone Christian blames everybody else for the circumstances they find themselves in. Okay. Michelle had surgery Tuesday. That's your fault, church. Okay? She's not able to be here today. That's your fault, church. I had to get my sister-in-law to come sit with us because my kids are going back and forth. I appreciate you, Lily. But when you went with Grayson, they left you. You know, that's your fault, church. It's your fault that we were almost late today. It's your fault. I'm sick and tired of it. See how silly that sounds? But that's how some people live their lives. Life happens, folks. Jesus said, in this world there will be troubles, there will be tribulation, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world, but it doesn't matter. When I get my... excuse me. I have to take my inhaler in a minute. But when I get myself worked up, when I get myself in a situation and it's my fault, then I need to quit blaming the church. It's not the elder's fault, it's not the preacher's fault, it's not the youth minister's fault, it's not the intern's fault, it's not the ministry leader's fault, it's not the song leader's fault. It's mine. And I need to quit pointing the finger, and I need to get right with the Lord. Can these bones live? Yes. But not if we keep pointing the finger. The next Christian we want to talk about, the next bone is the jawbone Christian. Who's the jawbone Christian? I think you can probably figure that one out. The one who runs off at the mouth. The one who puts his mouth into motion before his brain is in gear. The one who spreads gossip. The one who intentionally causes trouble by stirring up strife. By the way, I want to point out a point. Let me pause there. Go back to fingerbone Christian. The fingerbone Christian is usually strong. They're usually strong in their fingers. You know why? Because they're behind Facebook all the time. Or they're behind Twitter or whatever. They're talking about other people. Let's don't be that fingerbone Christian. We can live. All right, now, go back to the jawbone Christian. The jawbone Christian spreading gossip. And by the way, let me give you some warning signs, okay? Warning about if you're going to encounter the jawbone Christian. If they start a thing that says, hey, don't say anything about this, probably encountering the jawbone Christian. Or if they say, hey, did you hear this? Probably. Now, unless they're talking about, hey, the sun's out, did you hear that? You know, let's be mindful of that. Can you believe so-and-so did this? Hey, how about this is a favorite, right? Keep this between you and me. Let me tell you, the people that have said, keep this between you and me, and they come to you, that is not between you and them. There is no way that stayed with y'all. They went and told somebody else, okay? I'm just telling you, that's the way it works. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, it may impart grace to the hearers, and not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let's say you've been the jawbone Christian. We need to ask ourselves this morning, and we need to be honest. Can this jawbone Christian live? Yes. But not as long as the devil has control of my tongue. Surrender it to God today, and these bones can live. I'm not done. The hip bone Christian. Who's the hip bone Christian? Well, I kind of preached on the hip bone Christian last week. The hip bone Christian, and I'm sorry, ladies, I'm not trying to single you out. You got it in your handbag. But the hip bone Christian carries their wallet in their hip, okay? And they're sitting on it, and it doesn't move. The hip bone Christian is the one that's not willing to give. They're not willing to contribute. They're willing to, maybe they point the finger, maybe they have the jawbone, but they're still sitting on that wallet. Think about the widow with two mites. 2,000 years later, we're preaching on her, and we don't even know her poor little name. You know, she didn't expect that, but Jesus thought it to be pretty special, didn't he? Same thing with the lad that we talked about last week. He gave all he had. Even though it was a little bit, it was all he had. You see, Jesus Christ was a poor carpenter. He's the biggest giver who ever walked the planet. He gave his life. We can't expect God to give if we are unwilling to give. Can the bones live from the hip bone Christian? Well, certainly they can. But we've got to remember, we've got to put God first. We've got to remember where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. There's the dry bone Christian. This is a Christian whose life has withered up because they aren't in the Word of God anymore. The study to show yourselves approved has left their minds. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God is no longer apparent in their lives. Folks, let me remind us, if we are the dry bone Christian, we just dried up, that without faith it is impossible to please God. And we can't grow our faith without being in the Word. What if I'm a dry bone Christian? Can I live? Can these bones live? The answer is yes. But we've got to surrender. We've got to eat that scroll today. We've got to put those words in our heart today. And we've got to get back in the Word of God. A couple good ones here then. We have the backbone Christian. I hope we're all backbone Christians. It's the backbone Christian, the one who has conviction. knows what the convictions are and stands on those convictions. We're convicted to do what God wants us to do. The Christian with the backbone will not live his life to please the world. You see, we are the ecclesia. We are the called out. We need to be the ones that stand up for God rather than fall down because the music is playing. We're not going to allow the world to dictate our lives. We're not going to live our lives to conform to the standards of the world. We're going to live our lives the way Paul said in Romans 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's the backbone Christian. We're willing to stand up because we have a backbone. Because we are bold. We are willing to say and do what is right. We are willing to call out somebody when they spew garbage on the internet or in our lives. Even if they spew garbage back. By the way, if you encounter somebody like that, and even if that person is a member, supposedly, of this church, it's time to shake the dust off sometimes and move on. If a person doesn't want to help themselves, there's not a whole lot we can do. We can love them. We can encourage them where we can. But let's stand up for what's right. If somebody's calling a brother out, you call them out. If somebody's calling a sister out, you call them out. Do it in love. But folks, we got enough against us. Let's quit turning on one another if that has been a challenge to us in the past. Can the backbone Christian live? You better believe they can live. And we hope that they'll live in our lives each and every day. And then finally, we have the kneebone Christian. The kneebone Christian is the one who realizes that victory in the Christian life comes through a life on their knees. A life in prayer. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. You know, in Ephesians 6, the Christian soldier, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, gird your waist with the truth, shod your feet with the gospel of peace, take up the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. We always talk about, hey, we've got one offensive weapon, and I agree with that. We've got all this defense, now we go on the offense, okay? But there's a bonus weapon if you keep reading in Ephesians 6. And Paul talks about prayer. Yeah, we got the sword of the Spirit, but guys, we've got prayer. What an awesome resource to tap into. We need to be men and women of prayer. We need to be wearing our knee bones out, if you will. Prayer works, right? Can these bones live? You better believe it. They can live. In closing today, I want to go back to the text, though. I want to look at these words, and I put them up here on the screen. We're going to talk about them together, okay? Ephesians 37, verse 7. Here's what is written about it. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bones. Now, I don't know about you, but I almost preached a sermon today, the crazy things God has asked people to do. I just need a little more time to get it together. But God has never asked me to be vomited out of a mouth of a well. Okay? But he did that to Jonah, right? God has never asked me to spend 100 years building a boat. But he did Noah. God has never asked me to go before a king and demand them let a nation that they had captive of slaves go. He did to Moses. He's also never asked me, I know we could insert joke right here, to preach to a bunch of dead bones. Okay? I see you're awake, so I won't insert that joke. But he asked Ezekiel to do that. You want to talk about get out of your comfort zone? God, you want me to just start preaching these dead bones? Prophesy to them. Tell them what's happening. I would love to have seen those words or heard those words. But Ezekiel did it. He did it because he ate the scroll. Because he was willing to do what God told him to do. And you know what happened? Those bones lived. Are we willing to do what God tells us to do? Not suggest us do, but tells us do. If we are not willing, then we will be dead in this life and in the next. He also goes on to do this in verse 8. I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Sometimes we as a race, as God's people, we look the part. We've got our coats and ties and our nice clothes and our dress, and we've got our Sunday clothes on, and we've got these smiles on our face, and we're in these comfortable pews, and everything seems, but folks, there's still no life. When these bones came alive and it became muscle and tissue and skin, they were still dead. Today, are we just looking the part, or are we alive? Are we going to be what God wants us to be? Thirdly, then He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. Today, if we want to live, we need to allow God to breathe life. You heard the illustration about the man who was trying to prove God wrong. He said, I can make man just as well as you can. God said, okay, let's see it. So the man reaches down and gets some dirt. He said, uh-uh, get your own dirt. You see, there is nothing that is not God's. But that dirt remains dirt until God breathes life into him. Today we'll remain dead. Today we'll be dried out. Today we'll be nothing until we allow God to breathe that life. In just a moment, we got one more verse to talk about, but Steve is going to come and lead us in a song. We can have the opportunity to die to this world, but live again through the blood of Jesus, through the water of baptism. Today, that hope, that chance, that reality is for us all. Are we going to allow Him to breathe life? And then finally, this verse. He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says... Ah, I just read that, didn't I? So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Are you willing to be a great army? Are we willing to fight the good fight? Are we willing to stand up for what we believe? Are we willing to lead on our knees? Today I want to ask you the question, can these bones live? If you will surrender your life, we'll never know death. Today, let's do it right now. Together we stand and sing.